Book of Psalms and find the 95th Psalm together. Psalm chapter 95 is where we'll be this morning. Psalm 95. We do have some items left from our breakfast this morning, and so after the service is complete, I will open the back window and you can help yourself if you would like to have something from the kitchen there. And I do want to thank again the Landrys for a wonderful job putting that breakfast together. They did a great job. Can we give them a hand and thank them for putting that together? What a wonderful blessing. Psalm 95, verse number 1. Let's read it together. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when the fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom, verse 11, I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We are thankful, Lord, that we can come together and worship and praise your name. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. For everyone that has been a part of the service, thank you, Lord, for their involvement. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Lord, may we be convicted, may we be encouraged, may we draw closer to you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we begin this Thanksgiving weekend, this Thanksgiving season, it is, of course, my earnest prayer that as a church, as a church family, we would lift our hearts in thanks to God for his so many blessings. And I'm praying that your day, your weekend will be filled with rest and with fellowship. I heard the story of a dear lady who was not a good cook. She couldn't cook very well. And the family had decided that after many years of her cooking and her trying, that they should just go and eat out at a restaurant for Thanksgiving. And she said, well, you know, I've cooked this turkey for the first time, and I'm going to bring it to the table. And she said, if it's not good, then you don't have to say a word. If it's not good, you know, no negative comments. We'll just go to a restaurant and we'll eat a meal. And so this dear lady, she went to the kitchen. She got the turkey and only to come back to the dining room, and her husband and her son was at the table already with their coats on. I mean, they didn't see much hope in the situation. And I thank the Lord that this weekend is about more than a day off and a holiday meal. It's about thankfulness. And as I mentioned in our Sunday school hour, that thankfulness is about thankfulness, and we need to take time to think about all of the blessings. As the hymn writer said, count them one by one. I think that we need to also have a lifestyle to recognize God in the details of our life. And I like that, a lifestyle of recognizing God in the details of our life. Psalm 95 is a call to worship and a call to give thanks. In fact, between Psalm 95 and Psalm 100, it places priority on gratitude and our attitude in our lives. Now, why is gratitude important? I, by the way, titled my message this morning, The Priority of Gratitude. Why is it important? Well, someone once said that gratitude turns what we have into enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. But I believe it's more than just what we have, it's who we have that's important. And so I want to look at three truths this morning that we're going to look at being a grateful people and cultivating that attitude of gratefulness. First of all, let's think about the witness of God's people in verses 1 and 2 of our text. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." We witness, of course, through thanksgiving. We witness through our thanksgiving attitude. God's people should be known by a gratitude attitude. Someone said, a bad moment for an atheist. Here's a bad moment for an atheist, is when he feels grateful and has no one to thank. And we know who to thank. We know who to go to. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked." There's a wonderful expression. God be thanked for all the good things that he has given to us. If you're a child of God this morning, I'm here to remind you that you have many things to be thankful for. Your salvation, forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. You can be thankful this morning for God's grace and God's mercy that are new every morning, eternal life and a hope in heaven, access to God through your prayers, his faithfulness, food and clean water, shelter and warmth, health and strength, purpose in Christ. We have the beauty of creation that declares the very glory of God. We have lessons learned through hardship, God's presence every day, God's comfort in our lives in those hardships and trials, the privilege that we have and the freedom of a country to come and to worship the Lord without the threat of hardship or harm. We have a local church that preaches the word of God. We have the promise of Christ's return. We have the promise of a crown of righteousness one day. And I could go on and on and on this morning. We have many things to be thankful for. And so the psalmist said, "Enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving." Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And this isn't about entering into a place. This is about approaching a person. It's coming to God with reverence. It's coming to God with joy. It's coming to God with gratitude. The word "come" means to draw near. Lines up with the song we just heard, to draw near, to come, to draw near to God with an attitude of gratitude. And gratitude opens the door to worship. And so we see in our text here that we are to enter his presence with thanksgiving, but notice also we are to request his help with thanksgiving. Paul made it clear to the church at Philippi. He said, "Be careful or worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Paul said, don't be consumed by worry. It's easy in our world today to be consumed by worry. But we fight against worry. Don't miss this. We fight against worry with worship. With worship. And this involves our prayer life. It involves approaching God. It involves requesting from God, asking of God. And the attitude in all of it is to be thankful with thanksgiving. The Bible teaches us that in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." It is God's will that we be a thankful people. It is the will of God that we are thankful in the good things and in the bad things. Mrs. Spence sings a song that's a blessing to me every time she sings it. She needs to sing it again. It's the God in the valley, he's always good. That even in the good times, in the bad times, God is always good. And no matter the troubles and no matter the turmoil, And no matter the storms or the hardship that comes into our life, the command of God is to always be thankful. In times of grief, in times of hardship, in times of hurt, in times of loss, in times of lessons, in times of joy, in times of blessings, these are still times to be grateful. These are still times to give thanks and to have gratitude. A family went out for lunch and wanted some dessert. And so the waiter, a young lady, brought some pie and some ice cream to a little boy, to which his response was, "Thank you." And the waiter, the young lady, doesn't hear thank you very often anymore. She says, "I love to hear thank you." To which the boy replied, "Give me another scoop of ice cream and you'll hear it again." And we shouldn't have to wait for another scoop of ice cream from God to hear thank you. We should have the attitude of gratitude in our life. And so we witness through this thanksgiving, but also notice in our text in verse 2, we witness through a joyful spirit. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord with psalms. Christians should testify through thankfulness and through joy. It's in our text this morning. And if you're not a thankful Christian, I can guarantee you won't be a joyful Christian. If you're not a thankful Christian, then you will not be a joyful Christian. Benjamin Franklin said this, "To the discontented man, no chair is easy. To the discontented man, no chair is easy." And so when we count our blessings, we name them one by one, and we see what God has done. We look to him, even when in our life the tempests are tossed and the billows roll. We can always be thankful. Number 2, I want us to consider the worship of God's people. Can we look at that? The worship of God's people. Not only are we noticing the witness of God's people, but I want us to think about also the worship of God's people. The Bible says in verse number 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." You know, I think the problem with a lot of churches today is that they think it's about them. But it's not about us. It's about God. You know, the word worship there comes from two words. It means worth and ship. And we worship when we believe he is worthy. We worship when we believe that God is worthy. God is a spirit, John penned. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And worship is both subjective and objective. It is both subjective in our attitude, but also it's objective, it's in our actions. So let's think about this morning. Let's break it down. Let's think about our worship and our attitude, because our attitude is important. Our attitude determines how much our lives will be changed. Our attitude determines the direction of our life. It's like the parent that told the child to sit down, and in his heart he says, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing in the inside." And that's a bad attitude. We would agree with that. We would say that attitude needs to change. And oftentimes, our worship and our objective, our actions is not present because it's not in our hearts. We are not worshiping God in our attitude. And so here the Bible says we worship God as our Savior. Verse number 1, the Bible says we look to the rock of our salvation. Now we don't have to be a Bible student very long to realize that rock represents Jesus. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8. He says, "And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the foundation of our life. He's that cornerstone, as the Bible describes for us. And if you are born again this morning, if you're a Christian, and you're saying to me, "Pastor Burns, I have nothing to be thankful for.
My life is on the downhill. If you're thinking, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I mean, I'm going through this and that and the other thing, and all the things in my life are against me, then I say to you, then I would start with Jesus. I would start with the rock of your salvation, because we serve a risen Savior and we worship him as Savior. And it is indeed the most important thing that Jesus died for our sins. He gave his life so that we could have eternal life. And those who turn to Jesus will enjoy the blessings of eternal life. And I pray today that you know him. I pray that you know him, not just about him, but know him personally, and that he knows you, and that you are the sheep of his pasture. I pray that you're a Christian today. And if you are a Christian, then you can be thankful for all that Jesus has done in your life. But also we worship him. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. We worship him as our King. As our King. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Can we go to the book of Revelation, the 11th chapter together? Revelation chapter 11. And I want us to think about what the Bible says in verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. We'll read it together. The Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You see, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who knows everything. And we serve a God who is in control. I'll be honest with you, folks. I look at everything that's happening in this world today, and I think, man, what a mess. What a mess. Politically, financially, socially, spiritually, morally, what a mess. And I'm glad this morning, and I'm thankful this morning, when I don't understand, God understands. And I'm thankful that when I fall short, his grace never does. I'm thankful that when I am weak, his strength is made perfect. I'm thankful that when I can't see the way, the Lord is still my shepherd. I'm thankful this morning that when people change, God still remains the same. I'm thankful that when prayers seem unanswered, God is still at work. I'm thankful that when I have nothing left to give, his mercy gives me more. I'm thankful that when this world feels uncertain, God's promises are always sure. I'm thankful that when I'm afraid, his peace guards my heart. I'm thankful that when I don't know the future, I know the one who holds the future up. I'm glad that he is the I am. I'm glad that he is in control. And I say all of this to say he's the King. He's in control, and we can look to him. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. But also notice in our text, we worship him not only as our King and our Savior, but our text reminds us that we worship him as Creator, verse number 4. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. You say, why does the Bible say that? Because we often think that we're in control. But we often think we call the shots. But he is the Creator. We are the created. And we must never take our eyes off of that truth. He is worthy. This impacts our attitude. It impacts our attitude. Worship him as Savior. Worship him as Creator. Worship him as King. It impacts our attitude. But also, can we think about our actions? If these be true, then our life will be differently lived. And I think we notice, first of all, in our text here, that it's going to impact our songs and our speech. Psalm 105, verse 2, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And I remind you that this is not just in the songs that we sing, but also in the speech that we have. May our lips be filled not with trivial talk, but may it be filled with testimonies of the goodness of God and God's kindness to us. I think it impacts our songs. I think it impacts our service. As we worship Him through our service to Him. And this, of course, is going to be seen in our service to others as we live like the Lord. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that I might live for others, that I might live like Thee. And we're living in this society today that tells us constantly it's all about you. It's all about your needs, all about your life. And yet, the message of the Bible is to allow Christ to serve others through you, others. And I think that in our actions and our thanksgiving, we serve. I think in our stewardship, Psalm 116, verse 12, the Bible says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? What will I give God for all the good things that He has given to me?" What could we give God? To which Isaiah said, "I know. I'll give Him me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. I will take the cup of salvation," he continues in Psalm 116, verse 13, "and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people." God deserves not the rest of our life. He deserves the best of our life. He wants the best that we have to offer. And we must be excited today to serve the Lord with gladness. And I believe with all my heart that this comes from a heart of thanksgiving and this subjective, objective life of worship in our attitudes and actions. But thirdly, I want us to think about the warning to God's people in our text here. The Bible says in verse number 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice." Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. How sad is this? 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." You see, I believe that when we make gratitude our priority, we will witness through thanksgiving, we will worship in our attitudes and actions, but we will also listen to the warnings of God. And I think, first of all, we notice in our text the warning against faithlessness. Our country today, would you agree with me that our country today has hardened their heart against God? And many Christians today are so busy living their life that sadly God has become second place. And I believe that when there is no gratitude, our faith diminishes. I want to read here. This is from President Abraham Lincoln, and this is in 1863, and I know that we are not Americans. We are Canadians, we have our own country, but I think that our countries are similar in attitudes. And I want us to think about what he wrote in 1863. He said, "Thanksgiving, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown." But look what he says, "But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated, he writes, with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our nation's sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. And I say to you that our country needs to turn to God again and to turn their eyes upon Jesus. As the Bible says of Israel in verse number 10, they have not known my ways. And I think there's a warning here of faithlessness, but I think also in our text there's a warning of thanklessness. Thanklessness. You know, 50 years ago, the key word in our country was duty, work, hard work, duty. Now it's rights. Well, what's my rights? And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. He says, listen, in the last days, we're living in the last days, there'll be dangerous times that will come upon the earth. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They will be covetous. They will be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look at this. Unthankful people. Unthankful people. And we're living in an unthankful world who has not acknowledged God. A little boy was asked to pray for dinner. And before he bowed his head to pray, he looked at the dinner plate. And then he closed his eyes and he said, Lord, I don't like the look of it, but I'll thank you and eat it anyway. The reality is can we return to a thankful heart? Even in times of hardship, even in times of pain, even in times of loss, can we have a thankful heart? And the answer is yes, as we acknowledge God. You say, Pastor Burns, I don't think that this message is even relevant. And I strongly disagree. Can we go to the book of Romans in the first chapter together? Can I show you the severity of it all? In Romans chapter 1, the first chapter in Romans and verse 22. Can we notice in this text here a culture, a society that has turned away from God? And this is what the Bible says of this society that has turned away from God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You don't need a Bible commentary to understand that they turned from the living God, the true God, to idolatry. And they took God, who is high, holy, and lifted up, and they brought him down to man's level. And now he's no longer the great God, the king, but he's just the man upstairs. And they brought him down to man's level. And the Bible says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, God stepped out of the way and said, you go ahead and you follow a depraved, wicked heart. Without God's intervention, oh, how dark we would be. And the Bible says they're filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, and covetousness, maliciousness and full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity and whisperers and backbiters and haters of God and despiteful and proud and boasters and inventors of evil things and disobedient to parents without understanding and covenant breakers without natural affection. In other words, they're the idea is the natural affection that a mom would have for a child that has faded. And now we're seeing mothers kill their own babies and leaving their children in dumpsters to die. Where did that come from? How could a society become so wicked? How can a society be so anti-God? Well, can we go to the beginning and look what the Bible says in verse number 20? It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." God has revealed himself in creation. And it's being understood by the things that are made that there is a higher power, that there is a God. Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Bible says, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, when God had revealed himself to them, they glorified him not as God. Now notice it in your text here, underlined it in your Bible, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They were not thankful for the God of heaven and his revelation in their life. I say to you that it's important. I say that to you that it's very important. And this is a culture, a society that has turned away from God, and how important it is in the house of God, who claim to be the people of God, to be a people of gratitude for what God has done for us. I say to you, there's great priority in a thankful heart. Gratitude will cause us to witness through thanksgiving. Gratitude will cause us to worship in attitude and our actions. And gratitude will cause us to hear the very warnings of God. As God said, his people had become faithless and thankless. Finally, as you give thanks, may I remind you this morning to be sure that the gifts of Christ are at the very top of your list. I know we have many things to be thankful for, but may we remember that Christ and his blessings are at the top. One more verse and I'll be done this morning. Can we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. May this be the theme for your Thanksgiving weekend. And may you meditate upon this thought. May you meditate upon this thought throughout the weekend. The Bible says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." His unspeakable gift. You know, every year during American Thanksgiving, the President of the United States is seen in a lighthearted tradition of pardoning a turkey. I don't know if you've ever seen this on television. You know, the flashes of the camera and reporters are laughing. And one lucky turkey, one lucky bird gets to live out its days on a farm and not on a platter. And it's kind of a lighthearted event. We have a lot of turkeys, by the way, around our property, our church property. I don't know if you noticed, but they're everywhere. Turkeys are everywhere. I was filling up at the gas station down the road, and someone was asking what I do. I said, "Oh, I'm a pastor." They said, "Oh, where do you pastor?" "I pastor a Kitchener Baptist church." And they're like, "Oh, you're the church with all the turkeys." I'm like, "Yes, I am. That's Kitchener Baptist Church. We're full of turkeys." But I'm glad today we're full of turkeys that have been pardoned. And it's through Christ and through Christ's atonement that we can be thankful today. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that gift is a Savior that washed our sins away. We can truly be thankful today. I'm not trying to make light of all your problems and burdens and situations, because life is messy and life is hard. But I am here to tell you that above all of those things, you can have a thankful heart, because you have a Savior and He loves you so. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We're grateful, Lord, for this weekend that is specifically focused on gratitude. But Lord, help us not just to say it, but help us to mean it. And Lord, I pray you would help us cultivate within us a gratitude attitude for all of the things that you've accomplished and what you will accomplish in our life. Lord, as we go our ways here today, and many going to families and having dinners and fellowship with family members and all of those things, Lord, and you understand they're good and they're right in their place. But Lord, may we never forget our relationship with you, and may that be our priority, to be thankful for all that you've done. I pray you would bless us now as we're dismissed. I pray you would use your word to impact our lives. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.